Verse 17 is the verse that I'm going to focus on in this message. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish. But they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved. So we're going to talk about three things from the scripture. We're going to look at the wine, the old wine bottles, and the new wine bottles. The wine, the old wine bottles, and the new wine bottles. And I'm going to leave for you the title of this message, Stretched on Purpose. Stretched on Purpose.
Go ahead.
Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we just come. We come before you, Father, and we thank you and we bless you for the opportunity to preach your word, Father. And we pray that, God, you will move by your spirit and just allow your word to go forth, God, so that your people can be blessed. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Stretched on purpose. Stretched on purpose. I remember a time when I was younger, and I was much skinnier than I am now. I used to have very long, I used to think that I had very long arms, and I really did. And, you know, so you see a skinny girl, and, you know, just got all these long arms hanging. And anytime my parents would buy me clothes, they'd buy sweaters for me and stuff, my sweaters were always up here somewhere. Because my arms were always too long. And I got to a place where I found myself, when I got new clothes, stretching the arms. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, everybody don't have that problem. You know what I'm saying? But I had that problem coming up, and I had to stretch the arms of the sweaters to wear the sweaters and be comfortable in them. And sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't. Sometimes I would find myself doing all kinds of tricks, trying to wet it and then stretch it while it was wet and lay it out, you know, to dry. Because my arms were so long and I couldn't stand it, you know, wearing my clothes with my sleeves so high up like that. And so I would stretch that sweater on purpose. I would stretch that sweater like never before I would stretch that sweater. And anybody else who would want to wear that sweater would be uncomfortable wearing that sweater because the sleeves would be hanging all the way down here somewhere. No one else could wear that sweater but me. It was stretched just for me. Amen. That sweater was stretched just for me. So in the scripture, Jesus was responding to the disciples of John and the Pharisees about fasting when he said in verse 17, neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break, and the wine runneth out and the bottles perish. In other words, the old bottles had already been stretched with the wine, and And to put new wine on top of that will cause it to break. And so when we talk about the old bottles at that time were different than what we would call a wine bottle today. And that time, they used something called wine skins.
Yes.
And a wine skin happened to be an animal skin, like a goat skin. And they would sew around the goat skin, and then they would put their wine in the animal skin. Amen. And so when they understood what he meant, that when they would pour the wine into the wine skin, that the wine skin could break because it was stretched when they put the wine in. So the old wine, or the new wine that they wanted to put in the wine skin, Jesus said, it would break trying to put something new into something old. The wine in scripture represents law or the old system. The new wine represents the gospel, the new system that Jesus was bringing. The old wine bottles was the old way of thinking, your old way of thinking. And then the new wine bottles is the new way of thinking. And so Jesus is saying, your old way of thinking. Let's think more about your old way of thinking. You need a new way of thinking in order to receive the new thing that I am bringing unto you. Amen. So John's message focused on law. And when people look at God's law and compare themselves to it, they realize how far they fall short and that they must repent. So they always felt a need to fast as a sign of mourning for sin. Every time they looked at the law, they saw their sin. And so they felt the need to continue to fast and fast and fast. And so that's why they came to Jesus and they were like, oh, wait a minute now, you and your disciples, y'all ain't fasting. I don't understand what's going on here. How come y'all, your disciples don't fast and we fast? And Jesus was letting them know that, no, well, what's going on, what you don't understand is that, you know, you guys have been, you know, working with an old system.
My God.
And your old system is no longer relevant now because the Messiah has come. I'm here now. And I came with something new. And what you don't understand is that this old system that you think is working for your salvation is not going to work for your salvation. It says, and so they always felt a need to fast as a sign of mourning for sin. They knew that the price of sin was death. We know that the scripture says the wages of sin is death. And so if the price of sin is death, then every time they looked at the law and tried to do the law, the scripture lets us know that you have to if you're going to go by the law, then you have to make sure that you do every law that's in the book.
Amen.
You have to be obedient to every law. And if you make a mistake and make a mistake and do something wrong with one of those laws, then you find yourself facing death again. So here we are again, fasting and mourning. Fasting and worrying about the fact that we're going to die. Law brought death because there was no way to keep all of the laws. But Jesus came with a new message. He came with a message that focused on life. The scripture says God, for the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so his message focused on life, the result of turning from sin and turning to him. So that was the part that was missing, that they didn't understand when they came to Jesus. They didn't understand that Jesus, he had something new. He was coming with a new system. And he was trying to let them understand that the new system, you know, was too powerful to even be, you know, thought about in this old system. He was trying to get them to understand by using the analogy of wine.
Well,
he knew that they would understand when he started talking about wine, because wine at that time, somebody's laughing at wine at that time, was, is major, and it was a significant trade item in Palestine. Fines were sometimes paid with wine. It was also used in worship. Yes, it was used in worship. And it was also used as a common beverage or drink.
Amen.
Wine, they traded wine all the time because this was special. It was, and so Jesus would use this. Wine was also used as a disinfectant to clean wounds and to relieve pain. And so they understood when he started talking about wine. I think their minds, when he said, you know, well, neither do men put new wine in the old bottles. They probably was like, whoa, all right, he's talking about wine. We know something about wine. I know something about some wine. Now, what is he trying to say? Because, see, Jesus would say something, and, you know, to make you understand what he's saying without saying it. He makes you think about what he said. And so he had him thinking. He had him thinking. He says, no, neither do men put new wine in old bottles, else the bottles will break. So they knew that. And so, you know, they understood that the bottles would break with new wine being put in the old wine bottle or wine skin. So, you know, because they understood that because of the fermentation process of wine. And so when Jesus said new wine can't be put in old wine bottles or wine skins, they knew that when they put the new grape juice, because before wine turned into wine, it was grape juice. And so when they would put the grape juice in the wine skin, the wine, they knew that the grape juice had to go through a process. Amen? It had to go through a process. And this fermentation process was a process of unrest and agitation.
Come on now. Take your time.
And so when this grape juice was put into this wine skin, we're talking about a wine skin now. When it was put into the wine skin, it would go through this process of unrest and agitation. And let me see if I can get you to understand, because the grape juice was allowed to stand and ferment in vessels for 6 weeks at a time. So 6 weeks, agitation and unrest was going on in this wine skin. And so this is new wine skin that we're talking about. But before, Jesus was talking about old wine skin. Old wineskin that had already been stretched. He was talking about old wineskin, because old wineskin that had already been stretched with a wine, you can't take in new wineskin, because there has to be some kind of agitation going on. And if you put new wine into an old wineskin, then when the agitation takes place, the wine skin can't handle, can't hold the old wine skin, the old system. So let me see if I can get you to understand this. I found this on the website about the process of what's going on, you know, in that wine skin, that when wine is fermenting. First, it tells you the formula. It says the formula for the fermentation process is sugar added to yeast yields alcohol and carbon dioxide. Sugar added to yeast yields alcohol and carbon dioxide. That's your formula. So then it says the yeast added to the grapes converts the natural sugars contained in the grapes into ethanol and carbon dioxide. All right, so that's what's happening, that's what's going on inside of this wineskin. The yeast added to the grapes converts the natural sugars contained in the grapes into ethanol and carbon dioxide.
Yeah, right.
Ethanol, alcohol, right? This is then released from the wine mixture into the air, and the alcohol remains. So the carbon dioxide is released into the air, and the alcohol remains. When all of the fruit's sugars convert over to alcohol, or the alcohol is tested and found to be 15%, then this means that the fermentation is complete, and all the natural yeast has been destroyed. And then it lets us know that a sludge known as lees formed at the bottom of the vessel, a sludge known as lees will form at the bottom of the vessel. The wine was then tipped up gently into jars without disturbing the sediment, without disturbing the worthless residue. Did y'all get that? so all of this is going on. The sugars and the yeast. And, you know, there's an agitation process that's going on. There's a process that is bringing about an unrest in the new wineskin. And then the new wineskin begins to stretch because of the agitation process.
Well.
And so what God is trying to say to us today is he is not trying to fit into our old way of thinking.
Well.
Our old way of thinking, our system has to change and because God's system is greater than any system that we can even have, that we can even ever dream of. God wants to stretch us. He wants to stretch us on purpose. And somebody got to understand that when God stretches us, he stretches us on purpose. And see, what we don't get is the fact that sometimes we are going through and we've been standing on that word and we've been trusting in God and we've just been believing you, God. And God, we understand you. We know, God, that you can do this thing, God. But we're going through so much in our lives, God, and we don't understand what you're doing, but God is showing us that he's got something different going on in you. Something new. This process of agitation, of unrest, and this unrest needs room to begin to stretch and to ferment in you, that when he puts his word in you, the word begins to move. It begins to agitate. It begins to stretch you. And how many of us know that being stretched is uncomfortable?
Come on, God.
And many of us today are uncomfortable because God is stretching us. But I want you to know today that God is stretching you on purpose.
My God. My God.
Uncomfortable. God is saying, stop fighting against it. This is for purpose. It's for your good. I'm stretching you for your good. You're going through some things, but listen here. The process takes 6 weeks. Oh, hallelujah. And stuff is going on. God is moving in you, and he's shaking down some things that's not like him, that's in you, that he doesn't like, and things that trouble you and things that's been going on. And he's shaking down all the worthless residue to the bottom. He's taking it. He's moving it to the bottom.
Yes.
So that when he's ready to pour you out, hallelujah, it would be pure. Hallelujah. What he has that he wants to pour out of you will be pure and untainted. You've been standing on the word. You've been waiting for God to move in your life. And God is saying, I just give me 6 weeks. That's all I need. Just give me 6 weeks. Because you trusted me with my word. You said, listen, come on, God, let me have it. I'll take it. Give me your word, God. Pour it in me, God. Let me have your word. And you didn't realize that God was getting ready to do something. He was with that word, God, in you. Something was about to happen in you.
Hallelujah.
Oh, my God, you've been agitated, and you've been in unrest, at unrest for so long, and you don't realize that the process is almost over.
Oh.
God has shown us today. He's shown us. He said the process. It's almost over. If you can just hold on. And if you can hold out. He says, you know why? Let me tell you something. Because you changed your wineskin.
Well.
See? And if you change your wineskin, somebody has been feeling like they're about to break. You've been feeling like you're about to bust wide open because it's too hard for you. It's been too hard. It's been too long, Lord. And you've been feeling like, God, I've been standing on your word, God. I've been trusting you, God. You told me, you promised me in your word, God. And everybody's telling
He's stretching you on purpose. And you may be uncomfortable, but you're going to be all right.
Yeah.
You got to understand, you're going to be all right. He's saying, you know, you've been stretched and stretched. He said, but guess what? You know, how many of us understand that when we get past one thing, there's another thing? And he's saying that there's so many things that will come up against us. And we're going to need to get to a place where we realize that, well, I got to change my wineskin on this one. Because if I don't change my wineskin, if I don't change my way of thinking, if I don't change the way that God, change my thinking into the way that God thinks, then what's going to happen to me is I'm going to be like that old wineskin. I'm trying to live in my old system, my old ways, and I'm trying to do things the old way, the way I used to do them. And every time I think that I'm things are working out for me, I'm stretched, God is stretching me, I keep breaking. And everything that I took in from God just spills out. And then I feel like I got to start from day one. How many of us keep starting over and over and over and over and over? And God says, change your wineskin. He said, because if you change your wineskin, he said, you can keep what I've given you.
Come on.
And what will happen is you'll have victory. He lets us know that we will find a victory in him. Because if we can change our wineskin, we won't break. The wineskin will continue to just get stretched bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when we get to the end of the process, then what happens is then God begins to show us that we got over you past that. You passed that one. You passed that one, so here we are, okay, because you passed that one, and now let me just pour you out. Come on. Because, see, somebody else needs that. Pour you out. Somebody else knows that, needs to know that I am still God. Let me pour you out. Untainted. Let me pour out. Somebody else needs to understand that God is God. And God is saying to us, he's saying, stop fighting against what I'm doing in your life. He said, it's for a purpose. It's for your good. Hallelujah. He says, it's for you to learn to live in the abundance of life. It's for you to learn my ways. It's for you to walk in your healing. It's for you to walk in your victory. It's for you. It's for you. It's for you. He said, I want to shake down the worthless residue that keeps you from flowing. And see, what we have to understand is that, you know, we all have some worthless residue in us. But if we have changed our wineskin and if we have gotten to the place where we have asked God, hallelujah, to come on and bring it on, God. I believe you, then you can allow God to do, because too many of us are trying to do right, are trying to make it right. No, let God show you that he's going to do the agitating. He's going to be the one who brings unrest in your spirit. Old wineskin has to be changed in every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. How the way you handle your children, how you handle your marriage, how the way that you handle your finances, the way that you handle your worship, you must begin to change your old wine skin.
My
change your old wineskin. God is letting us know. He's saying, listen, so many people are fighting against what I'm doing. Don't fight against what I'm doing. If you know that you have changed your wineskin, and many of us who have trusted in Jesus as our Lord and our Savior, your wineskin has been changed.
Come on.
That's the first thing. Your wineskin has been changed. If you trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you believe him in your heart, then your wineskin has been changed. You change from the old system to a new system. And Jesus is saying that his word, when his word goes in, that the Spirit agrees with his word who lives in your heart. And so that's number one. But then the second thing is that you have to change your way of thinking.
Amen. Amen.
Because if we continue to live as saved people and think that it's just going to work out for us, and we don't change, be renewed in the spirit of our minds.
Yes.
If we don't change in our minds, then we'll continue to be those who walk around saved and not understanding the power that lives within.
My God. My God.
And so Jesus is telling us today, you know, trust in him. But he said, because I stretched you for purpose. I got a purpose for your life. I'm stretching you. And I'm stretching you on purpose. Stretching you on purpose. So stop looking at it like, you know, I hate God and I'm mad about my life. He said, I'm stretching you on purpose. I'm stretching you on purpose.
My God.
You think you're going through? You think I don't know you're going through? I'm God. I'm God. I know all about you. I know everything. I know every situation that has happened in your life. I know that, but I stretched you on purpose. So let me just close out with this. I got this from one of my little books. I can't remember the name of it right now. But it says, God paid a high price to ransom you from death. The price was not paid in unmarked bills. Your life was traded for the life of God's only Son, Christ Jesus. Christ's agonizing death on the cross and separation from his heavenly Father was the only price high enough to set you free. The only reason people agree to pay a ransom is because what or who is being held captive is valuable to them. You are immeasurably valuable to God. Your worth has been proven by the high price he paid. Jesus was hung high and he was stretched wide on the cross on purpose.
Okay. My God.
He went through that agonizing process on the cross and he died. And he stayed in the grave. But the grave couldn't hold him. A fermentation process began to take place in the grave. And the grave couldn't hold him. The grave tried to hold him all Friday night. And the fermentation process just started. And I can imagine that the people started feeling something up under their feet, like something. What? You know how you feel the earthquake? Like what is going on? Like, oh, what's going on? And they felt that for like a couple of nights. They're like, well, I don't understand, y'all. What's going on? What y'all feel? Do y'all feel that rumbling under your feet? The fermentation process began to happen. The grave couldn't hold him. The grave couldn't keep him. I can see the grave saying, you know, well, what is going on? Because we never had this problem with anybody else.
demons, the process just kept going and kept going and just kept agitating the earth and until Jesus got to a place where he just said, you know what, I'm busting out.
My God.
The grave couldn't hold him. And our Savior got up with all power in his hands. In his hands. He got up with all power. The grave couldn't hold him. There was an agitation process going on. And God is saying to us today, I stretched you. Just like I stretched my son wide, I allowed my son to be stretched on the cross. And that, you know, when his blood came streaming down, everybody who comes up under his precious blood, everybody, because see, you know, when he was hung on that cross and his blood came streaming down, trust me, all of what was going on with us and everybody else, all of that nasty stuff that, you know, it began to go to the bottom, all that sin, and it went down to the bottom, so that when his blood began to pour out over us, all we had to do was come up under the blood of Jesus. And God is saying, if I stretch my son wide, he said, what do you think I would do with you? My only son. And so understand that God loves you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus is saying, I'm coming to you with life. I come to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. So understand that if I'm stretching you right now, you're feeling some kind of agitation in your soul, if you're feeling some kind of unrest, understand that I'm stretching you on purpose. I'm stretching you for purpose. The process. The process. Let us all stand. I'm done. The process. Glory to God.